Welcome to The Worst Week Yet, the least informed podcast on the left. It's a podcast where every week we put on our little newsboy cap, we go down to the street corner, we hop up on a soapbox and we scream, "Extry, extry, the world's gone to shit!" I am your host, Andrew Hillary, and I am joined, this week I am joined by guest co-host Kennedy Cooper, returning in the guest co-host seat. What's up, Kennedy?
Hey, you know, I've been thinking about this.
Well, there's your first mistake.
I apologize for the fact that I sound like shit. my computer is dying or something.
Listeners, I'll have you know, we have tried one Zoom call, one Skype call, and now we are on our third or our second Zoom call. So you're getting what you're getting, and we're here. We've got content. That's all you need.
Yeah, I'll be funny. Maybe.
Kennedy will be funny. You just might not be able to hear them because it's coming through two tin cans tied together with a string. It's fine. In our third seat, we've got our returning friend. It's been a while. Back on the show, please welcome Ben to The Worst Week Yet. What's up, Ben?
Hey, how's it going? It's very good to be back and definitely going to be worth it with the work we put in. I'm excited.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. What if this was our, we've spent an hour trying to figure this out. What if this was the worst episode we've ever done? Anyways.
Only one way to find out.
All the news was good this week.
There will eventually be a week that's like that, but it's not going to be till like 2047.
Yeah, no, here's the thing. So far, this is our 88th week, and so far the title hasn't really like failed us yet. It hasn't been like, you know, this week wasn't that bad. Hasn't happened. Although I guess there was the one week that I got to go to Alaska and like, you know, hang out there. That was a personal good week, I guess.
Also, that was before Roe v. Wade was appealed.
True. Yeah.
So, you know.
Four times. COVID wasn't real then. Just kidding. It's still not.
COVID was totally real then.
It was like 4 months ago. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, shit.
COVID was real a year ago and now, but not 4 months ago, conveniently, when Andrew Hillary wanted to go to Alaska.
Is Fauci paying you to say that, Kennedy? Come on. You got to disclose those financials, all right? Folks, we've got a whole lot of bad news for you this week, and we are going to get to it. But before that, just going to pop in real quick and let you know that this podcast is listener funded. That's right. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/worstweekyet. You can sign up and receive bonus episodes most weeks. Kennedy and I have been recapping the show The Boys on Amazon, and that's been a lot of fun. Kennedy, how do you feel about The Boys?
You know, it's a complex show that sometimes really makes you want to stop watching it with every fiber of your being. But I would say that at this point I am hooked. So
yeah,
it is what it is. I'm enjoying it.
Tune in to
the perfect worst sunk and cost fallacy show.
You're like, I can't quit, but they just keep putting more fucking Billy Joel songs in the show. God damn it.
I might quit if they up the Billy Joel quota high enough. Like if it just turns into like, it's just pretty much, there's an episode where it's just all Billy Joel all the way through, nonstop Billy Joel songs. I might be like, we gotta watch Girls now.
Yes, we're watching The Boys, and to complete our gender studies Patreon, we're next gonna watch Girls. It's gonna be, look, this is like a funny bit that nobody asked for. But anyways, patreon.com/worstweekyet. You can sign up for as little as $2.50 a month. But if you sign up at $10 a month, that means you are an official sponsor of The Worst Week Yet. You are a Pizza the Hut level patron. And what does that mean? That means we say your name. So just want to give a big shout out. A thank you. Expressing some gratitude to Patrick, leave me alone. Zap Actions Downer, Josh Troopin, Herman Kane, Amanda Pucci, Darren, no last name provided, AJ from Baltimore, CIA Brain Bugs, The Green Button, and our newest patron, The Man in the West. Welcome to The Worst Week Yet. I almost said Jurassic Park. Anyways, patreon.com/worstweekyet. Give us money, we'll make a show. Hey, Kennedy, Ben. I don't know if Yinz have been paying attention, but these last 7 days, once again, it was the worst week yet. And I want to begin. I want to begin with a story that, you know, as a nation reeling from one tragedy to another, we must yet again be reminded of those tragedies that have come before. And I've seen no greater example of just dredging up this deep pain that lies within us as a nation as just yesterday when Fox Sports has been forced to issue an apology after using the Twin Towers Memorial as a background for Baseball Night in America.
Should be very specific. It was the reflecting pools, and the logos for the Yankees and the Red Sox were placed in the reflecting pools, which are the footprints where the Twin Towers once stood.
They're like, hey, look at these monuments to a complete national tragedy. Let's throw a couple logos in there.
God bless this country.
America's pastime is reminding ourselves of tragedy, apparently. Yeah.
I don't know what.
I do love to see it, because here's the thing. Sometimes people forget, and you're supposed to never forget, okay? And you keep your eye on the ball. You keep your baseball logos in the fucking grave sites of 3,000 Americans.
You know what I do love about this, though?
It's that,
like, people are always, like, you know, judgmental of, like, the edgy, especially kind of leftist memes crowd. Like, you make too many jokes about tragedies and stuff like that. And it's like, nothing I have ever posted on Twitter is as insensitive as doing this.
It's really incredible.
I don't know if you remember, like, I don't know if you're into baseball Twitter, but there's like a running gag about Pete Alonso, who plays for the other New York team. And I honestly don't know how the meme started, but it's of him like hitting a home run, but it's superimposed like onto 9/11. And it's like he's knocking, like it's like when one of the planes hit, like the second plane hit, just him knocking into the Twin Towers and like the explosion. Again, I don't know how it started, but it's so like, it's very edgelord stuff. But then Fox News Network managed to like take off and just exceed all expectations. It's incredible.
Yeah, so pour one out for all the balls and strikes, and you know, never forget. So yeah, that was probably my favorite story of the week. It's all downhill from here, folks. Next.
By the way, one thing I want to know about that is, you know, the process. Like, I want a 5-hour documentary on the process of when this idea was first had to it airing, because it had to have run through at least 5 people. First of all, it looks like a drone shot. I don't even know how you can fly a drone over Ground Zero. There should be a no-fly zone there. Yeah, just everything. Even to the point where the producer puts the tape in, I'm like, yep, it's go time. It's incredible. And at no point was anybody like, we shouldn't do this, man. Like, this is not good.
Yeah.
Incredible.
You remember how mad people were whenever there was supposed to be like a mosque, like a block from Ground Zero? I think this one might have been, we can't have a mosque a block away, but we can put baseball logos into the reflecting pools. Yeah, totally. Totally. God bless America. So I want to move on this week, from one tragedy to another. This week, we saw security camera footage from the Uvalde massacre, the shooting. There was this leaked to the press before parents got it. I don't know. Some of the parents of children that were killed in the Uvalde shooting were pretty upset about it. I'm not sure exactly the circumstances there, but I did watch this video. Did both of you see this?
I did not watch. I saw a couple of screenshots and GIFs of the footage.
It doesn't like show the absolute horror, but most of what it shows, and in fact, about all of what it shows, almost all of what it shows, is just a bunch of cops standing around in a hallway. They're just sitting there. One of them goes, it's like you know, it's sped up, but there's just like 45 minutes that they just like breeze through where literally the entire time cops are just standing there while children had been calling 911 and stuff. At one point, a cop, like, he's just sitting there. He goes over and gets a little squirt of hand sanitizer, just like, you know, to pass the time. Another cop pulled out his phone to look at his phone, like, you know, just to pass the time. He had a fucking Punisher logo as his phone background. And it's like,
I saw a tweet that was like, and I retweeted this, that was like, this is the perfect encapsulation of how cops see themselves versus who they actually are.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, literally, yeah.
Like, he's literally got the Punisher as his phone background. In his mind, he's like, yeah, I'm out there. I'm stopping the guys. I'm doing the stuff, whatever. It's like, literally, you're listening to kids, like, scream and cry and die, and you're standing around.
I do want to address that because I think the most horrifying part of the video, again, it doesn't really show a lot. It shows none of the actual like shooting or carnage or anything, but the sound was edited because like they didn't want to hear. And so at one point in the video, a message pops up that says, quote, "The sound of children screaming has been removed," end quote, which is, yeah, it- the most horrifying fucking sentence I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I do remember when, like, for weeks after, there was like, there's a video, and the conclusion that I think everybody came to, and I'm including everybody in this phone call probably, was that they must have shot a kid, you know, in their incompetence. And, you know, I hate to say it, but this almost seems worse, because you're like, in that situation, you feel like they're being incompetent, not trained, but at least they're, you know, doing something. And in this, it's like nothing. They were just perfectly okay with just letting this happen.
Yes. And also, we have not, this video does not rule out the possibility that when the police breached that door, that they, that a kid got shot by them. So
it's true.
Yeah, not at all.
But yeah, so. No, just watching them sit around with a thumbs up their asses while, although we didn't hear it, children were screaming for help. Like, yeah, I don't know how anybody could not burn their fucking thin blue line flag after this. I'm just kidding. I know how, because people are fucking idiots and love the cops. But that's, yeah, it's really, really horrifying. I want to talk now about another tragedy, I guess. We have to talk about cancel culture's latest victim, which is Lauren Boebert's restaurant, Shooter's Grill. I'm now realizing it might be insensitive that I put these stories next to each other.
You're really putting these two stories together? Look, my God.
I rushed through the notes. I'm sorry. Yes, Shooter's Grill in Boulder, Colorado.
Is there another story we can cut to instead and then come back to Shooter's?
We're doing it live, Kennedy.
This is okay. It's like I'm watching The Boys, you know. Yeah. 1 minute people's heads are getting crushed, and then the next minute you know, the Billy Joel is playing and they're laughing in a park.
Yes.
Okay.
Honestly, I think it's like, have you ever seen that challenge where it's like you have to put six marks in a tic-tac-toe box and not make tic-tac-toe? And it's actually impossible. And I'm trying to think, is there any order you could have put any of these stories in that would not have just connected
to two
things,
blow,
which
yeah.
are yeah, equally horrible? It's, you're screwed either way.
I'm going to say that I probably could have, but I like to believe that it was inevitable. You know what? It was fate. It's fate that these two stories ended up on the docket that I personally organized. Anyways, Shooter's is closing down. Now, there were originally reports that the landlord was evicting them from this residence. Lauren Boebert did come out and clarify the landlord is not evicting them. The landlord has just chosen not to renew their lease. Big difference. But yes, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Shooter's Bar and Grill. All the employees open carried at this fucking shitty restaurant.
Yep.
Like, that was their thing.
That's
you
their
know,
flair.
Honestly, that was the only part of it that I liked, because I think waitstaff should open carry all the time in every restaurant, just to put people back in their place a little bit, you know?
Yeah, you know? Will you be sending that back? Like,
you better tip.
You better fucking tip. Yeah. You know, when somebody leans over the table, don't forget to leave a tip. And there's just that thunk of steel against the table.
It's like the 25%.
Imagine having to send a burger back because there was a shell casing in it. But yes, they closed the doors for good, and they hung up a sign that simply read, quote, "Stay tuned, hashtag Covfefe," end quote.
What, really?
I don't understand what that fucking means.
Did they really say hashtag Covfefe?
Yes.
Amazing.
Is she opening a Covfefe house?
Well, that's, she did say that, like, she, they're not sure if they're going to try and open Shooters as something else because they don't have a space for a full restaurant. She was like, who knows, maybe like a little coffee shop, you know, with like some simple foods, like some prepared little sandwiches and stuff and coffee. So maybe that's it. What she didn't suggest, but what I would like to suggest, is a Shooters food truck, you know, drive-by meals. It's great. The stories write themselves. Folks, Lauren Boebert, hire me. Sign up to the Patreon.
You really want to go back to her and with her open carry and tell her that you accepted a blue rock for like some hot wings?
Yes. I'm sorry, Ms. Boebert. She was such a sweet little kid. I was just going to take the blue rock. Oh, man. Getting written up at work when both you and your boss have a gun on you is a very funny idea.
Oh my God. You know what? The more I think about it, the more we need to save Shooters.
Hashtag save Shooters.
This is really a thing that just should exist in this horrible country. There's nothing funnier to me than the idea of like, excuse me, I need you to come in the office to discuss your performance lately. And it's like, they've got a gun and you've got a gun. And it's just like, all right.
It's just that P. Diddy stare down gif just over and over again.
Yeah, like the manager says to you, like, yeah, we noticed that your drawer was $50 short, and all you hear is just the little of the gun, the trigger being, or the hammer being pulled back.
Hammer pulled back.
count it again, boss.
Was I $5 short, or was it just right? Huh? What do you think?
Let's all go to Shooters. Fuck yeah. So let's see. Oh, we've got.
Can we buy that brand now that it's over?
We can just right click and save the NFT of Shooters Grill. I'm sure nobody will mind.
There you go. Figured it out.
So I want to move on. We've actually got a few stories and a new segment. That's right. We're premiering a new segment. This segment is called Booze News. We got stories about drinks or drunks. I don't fucking know. Our first story, this is something I've never seen before, an FUI. So this week, a pilot of a small single engine plane had to make it.
I was like, what is that? I was like, it's okay to fuck while you're drunk, right? Like,
a pilot of a small single engine plane had to make an emergency landing on I-70 in Missouri after his plane completely ran out of fuel midair. Not a single person was injured. In fact, not even any cars were hit. This guy like made a landing in a fucking interstate highway, but the pilot was arrested because he was under the influence. Here's my thing. If you are wasted drunk, but still manage to land a plane on a highway without injuring anyone, you should get away with it. I think they should be like, hey, you nailed this, buddy. Like,
yeah, you ever seen Flight, first the Denzel try. Movie, where he does a barrel roll in a 737 and managed to land it while mm-hmm. just completely housed? I don't know. Like, you shouldn't go to jail. Just, no, you should. They should just let you keep doing that.
They should let this dude run Space Force. In space, no one can serve you beer.
There's just less things to crash into there.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I really like that story. We've got another entry into the booze news.
Booze news.
I found a booze. I'm so stupid. So a new study came out this week, a global study that surveyed thousands of people in over 200 countries. And the conclusion of the study says that alcohol is, wait for it, bad for you. Yeah, yeah. I had to reread that sentence three times. According to the study, it is estimated that 1.34 billion people drank harmful amounts of alcohol in 2020, which for 2020, I'd say that seems way too low. I don't think I know a single person that didn't drink a harmful amount of alcohol in the year 2020.
I know a lot of people that like had some type of relapse into problematic drinking. Yeah. And I myself probably came the closest I've come, although it wasn't very close, but still like 2020 was a bad time.
I never had like, I'm not much of a drinker. Like I'll get a little drunk or whatever. Sometimes I get a little too drunk, but like I can also go like months without drinking. It's fine. But I will say the one thing I did do in 2020 is I got so drunk that somebody offered me ketamine and I'd never done it before. And I was just like, yeah, fuck it. And then did ketamine while wasted drunk and tried to walk home. And it took me like 3 hours.
Was it an entertaining 3 hours?
I don't really know.
Was it like that scene from Wolf of Wall Street where you're
it
like,
it literally
okay,
was
strolling.
No, here's, I can describe it as I was, it was like I was being a marionette puppet being controlled by somebody who had never tried to do that before. Like I was literally like mentally talking out like, okay, now I have to lift my right leg and move it forward and set my foot down. And like, I couldn't say, okay, I told you it took me like maybe like 2.5 hours to walk home. I was literally two blocks from my house. I got lost in my own neighborhood. Like it was fucked up. So yeah, alcohol can lead to trying ketamine in somebody's basement. So be careful, folks. But yes, the conclusions of this study said that no one under the age of 40 should have more than a shot glass worth of beer or 2 tablespoons of wine in a day. So
I tuned out for a second, but I heard ketamine, alcohol, basement. Are we talking about the boys?
The boys are back in town. Yeah.
I'm desperate to drive some people to the Patreon this week.
Patreon.com/worstweekyet. We got three new patrons this week. We got two last week. Kennedy, we are fucking crushing it. We are.
Hell yeah.
We're up to $161 a month. Can you believe it? You know, honestly, we are going to soon enter the bourgeois left. Watch out, folks. Yeah, so finally in booze news, I just want to talk briefly about the story. I saw this pop up. A South African man chugged an entire bottle of Jägermeister in under 2 minutes to win a $12 bet. Have you ever seen somebody chug Jägermeister? That's like a pretty intense experience.
Really intense.
About 2 hours later, he dropped dead.
Oh, God.
$12.
Related?
So, rest in peace to a real one. And be careful.
Jesus.
Be careful.
My God.
Look, I'm not going to agree with the study that says you should only drink a shot glass worth of beer in a day, but I will say you should not chug an entire bottle of Jägermeister. Somewhere in the middle.
Moderation,
yeah. So... moving. That's all for booze news. Tune in again next week. We'll find more hammered people to talk about, or eventually. I don't know. It's not every week where you get some spicy booze news. I want to move on now to talk briefly about the continued J6 trial. This fucking trial. It's the January 6th trial will not quit us. We somehow are still talking about this, even though we know for a fact nobody's going to fucking go down for it. Have you been following this January 6th shit at all?
The hearings?
Yes, yes.
My birthday?
Is that your birthday?
That is my birthday, yeah. This shit has ruined my life, basically.
What were you doing on January 6, 2020, on your birthday in 2021?
They were obviously going to Three Kings services. Orthodox Christmas.
I was at Four Seasons Landscaping.
Kennedy's going to get called in front of Congress thanks to this podcast. You're welcome, listeners. So not a ton came out, like, of juicy stuff came out of this trial. There was some, or the hearings this week. There was one thing where apparently the Secret Service, like the people closest to Donald Trump, deleted like a ton of their text messages from January 5th and 6th as what part of what is called a device replacement thing that they were doing. But yeah, there's just 2 days of missing text messages from the Secret Service, which
I thought you couldn't do that. I thought that's like, it's not like emails were like, it's on a server somewhere.
I don't know exactly. Cause like they were subpoenaed and the Secret Service is like, oh, we don't have them. But then they sent another subpoena or something. So somebody said that is working with the hearings that they should be able to recover them. But I don't know. I don't know where it's going to come. But it seems like if there was anything that would be like truly damning about like what Trump was specifically ordering people to do or whatever, it could be in those texts. And the fact that they were deleted, it's at least like that is maybe kind of sketchy. I don't know.
That is assuming that damnation is possible.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it'll just be, he will be our first, I'm not saying it'll stop him from getting reelected. He'll be our first president that is president while he's currently in jail.
The only thing that's going to stop him from being reelected is death.
Yeah, and we already saw that this week, you know, we have to pour one out for Ivana. Ivana Trump passed away, age 73, mother of Ivanka, mother of Eric, mother of the other one, Don Jr.
It's too bad that she passed away at 73 because, you know, life really begins at 80.
That's true. That's true.
Donald Trump taught me that.
Did you see the beginnings of the Ivanka Trump truther movement starting to develop on Twitter?
No.
Oh my God. So some body language expert. I'm hoping it's one of those things that just like kind of just stays on a low radar, but no, there are people who are definitely starting to consider that she was murdered, you know, mostly to distract from the hearings because there's even like, true crime amateurs saying, well, how did the coffee spill, you know, if she fell down a spiral staircase, you know, and I'm already like, no, we don't need this to be a thing. And it's like literally anything that's a conspiracy that distracts from material conditions is just a bourgeois conspiracy in my, so it's like the conspiracy is a conspiracy.
Yeah, opinion. Yeah. If you're talking about the Bilderberg group, you're not talking about Jeff Bezos, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, I do like the conspiracies are the real conspiracy theory. That's one of my favorites, honestly. But yeah, I didn't see any of this building, but what I did, I got the notification on my phone, like Ivana Trump has passed away on Thursday. And I was like, oh, okay, she was old, whatever. And then the next day I got another notification that was like, Ivana Trump's death has been ruled an accident. And I was like, oh, I wasn't even questioning. What? Like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess now I, cool, dude. You, like whenever somebody tells you, and I definitely didn't do the thing. It's like, wait, I wasn't even thinking you did the thing before, but now I kind of am.
It's like my Ivanka Trump death ruled a accident report is answering questions. It's causing people to ask questions already answered by the report.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing that happened this week was John Bolton went on CNN and they were discussing it was Jake Tapper interviewing him. They were discussing like whether or not what Donald Trump did could be considered a coup. And John Bolton responded like, this wasn't like an organized attempt. Like this isn't what you would call a coup. And so Jake Tapper was like, hey, like with all due respect, like I don't think somebody has to be smart to do a coup. I don't think it has to work for it to be a coup. And so John Bolton responded, well, I can say this as somebody who has personally been involved in planning many coup d'etat. It's like, wait. You did what now? So Jake Tapper kind of moved along and like didn't think about it, but he did circle back and ask John Bolton later, like, hey, what exactly were you talking about? And John Bolton mentioned Venezuela and, quote, many others or a few others or something. I don't know why I said quote. I don't know what he said. But yeah, it's nice to see people that were in the CIA going on TV and being like, we did coups. Suck our dick. You're not gonna do shit about it. We do coups.
And then, of course, the best part about that story is the spook influencer of Twitter talking shit and saying that, well, he doesn't do coups. He didn't do a coup. And then Ilhan Omar just being, settle down. This is not erasing your work, which is, I know she's a politician, but probably one of the best top five politician tweets of all time.
Yeah. I'm a pretty big Ilhan Omar fan. Also, I'm not necessarily on board with all John Fetterman's politics, but holy shit, is he good at Twitter?
Oh man,
he's good at Twitter.
Or his team is, or whatever. But I like the approach that they're just clowning on fucking. Did you see Dr. Oz posted he went to both Pat's and Gino's, which is like, you're supposed to pick one.
They're
across
the street from each other.
And so John Fetterman just like screenshotted it and was like, oh yes, the traditional thing that tourists do when they go to Philadelphia. Like, because Dr. Oz does not live in Pennsylvania. It's yeah, he's clowning on him. I still don't think, I don't know. It's going to really depend on how bad the economy gets, but like fucking Dr. Senator Oz is still a possibility. Don't count it out just because John Fetterman's better at Twitter.
Where are the polls? Where are they sitting? Do you know?
I'm pretty sure Fetterman's up like pretty significantly, but again, like if the fucking housing market or like some fucking market like bottoms out between now and November, like it's not gonna fucking matter. Like if people are starving at that point, they're not voting for Democrats, they're voting against Democrats. And it's, I mean, I hate to like worry too much, but you know, it is unfortunately that we have like as a nation like 15 different crises that are like the dam is just barely holding on and ready to burst, and it's all like, you know, vote for us, it'll probably be fine. Like that's the only Democratic strategy. So it is scary that if one thing goes wrong that could cascade into five things going wrong, that like it doesn't matter who the fuck is like it, they're just going to blame the Democrats because the Democrats have been telling us everything's fine the whole time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not great. Let's talk about COVID. Y'all ever heard of COVID? COVID-19?
I'm intimately oh my gosh, with COVID.
You and Kobe are dating? Oh my gosh, Ben, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, this was, remember, it was a year ago. You came to New York, we're supposed to hang out, and then I got COVID and we couldn't.
Yeah, well, I mean, COVID wasn't real then either because I wanted to go on vacation. That's kind of how. God damn it, I'm a piece of shit. Yeah, so COVID cases were continuing to rise, up averaging about 120K a day in the United States that we know about. Again, nobody has any idea what the case numbers are if you include home testing. So, you know, just see how many of your Facebook friends are posting pictures of positive tests. That's how you figure out how many people have COVID right now. The BA5 variant is now the dominant strain in the United States, although there's already more strains that are like mutating and mixing and coming. Super COVID is coming, folks.
Really like the 7 versus the larger Vought family.
Yeah.
Of COVID viruses.
Yeah.
Oh.
Everything is the boys. Patreon.com/worstweekyet. The one COVID-related story that I do want to talk about is I saw a story this week about a Georgia businesswoman who has been charged for defrauding the United States government because she is a business owner. She got a paycheck protect, or she got like one of the original COVID loans, and she used part of those loans to pay for a boob job. I am going to come out firmly and say she did nothing wrong.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Free this woman, whoever she is. I could have wrote her name down. I'm a fucking idiot. I'm not good at researching, but yeah, you know, there was, look, if the government sends you money and doesn't specifically state, hey, don't pay for boobs with this, that's your God-given right as an American. You can use that money for boobs.
Even I think the government has to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that this will not help her business.
Yeah, I mean, sex sells. We know how this works. Like, there's an argument that could be made that maybe her business has improved. Maybe it was a worthwhile investment. And I want Joe Biden to prove it in a court of law that it didn't.
I agree. I think yeah, Joe Brandon himself has to be there. Dark Brandon, preferably.
Joe, I also want Hunter there.
Yeah.
Hunter will just be sitting behind the defense.
Isn't Hunter a lawyer?
I don't fucking know.
I think he's a lawyer. So
does he have a job?
I don't know where we have not seen Hunter Biden since Joe Biden became president, have we? Like, out and about? Like, we've seen old pictures and videos of him, but we haven't seen
anything. No proof of life.
They put him in a bunker. They were like, you can do crack, you can have sex workers, but you're not leaving this room.
You are not leaving this room until Kamala takes over.
Yeah. There are no pictures of Hunter, minimum. Hunter Biden holding today's newspaper.
Hunter Biden, blink twice if you're okay. Hunter Biden.
I like how they kind of pretended, like, when Joe Biden first took office, that he probably wouldn't run again, and that they'd set up Kamala as like his successor, and then they just haven't done that at all.
Nobody likes Kamala.
I mean, her speeches, she makes us sound like.
Did you see
eloquent.
That? People were K-Hive was trying to get a Simpsons writer fired because what was her name? Broti Gupta. Broti Gupta. She tweeted out, Kamala Harris talks as if she's wearing an earpiece that has water damage or something like that. Like, it's a pretty fucking good joke, but also it's not that mean of a joke. It's
no.
Like, I mean, it's not nice, but like, it's like, whatever, dude. But yeah, people were trying to get this lady fired by Disney because she writes for The Simpsons, who owns Fox, who owns like, and I saw one person that was like, oh, this woman created the character Apu, but now is trying to speak negatively about an Indian writer, which about the partially Indian vice president, which I believe Broti Gupta is Indian.
Yes.
She was not writing for The Simpsons when Apu was created.
She graduated from high school in 2012, which means that she wasn't even born yet when the character was created.
Oh, that's so fucking funny. But yeah, vote. I say Broti Gupta for president. That was good. It was a good tweet. I think if you do one good tweet, you deserve to be president, at least more than Kamala does. Okay, now I'm going to get fired from Disney. Fuck. So I want to. I just want to briefly talk about capitalism. Folks, now you may know this about The Worst We Get. We are not fans of capitalism. We are not, you know, we begrudgingly participate, but, you know, we are not pro-capitalism. I'll say that. This story relates.
It may shock you.
It may shock you. This story.
I didn't know this.
Oh shit!
My parts be edited out.
Ben does not want to be associated.
Are you no longer comfortable being on this podcast?
It might damage my future career as a capitalist, as a fintech influencer.
The anti-capitalist views of The Worst We Get do not. Anyways, I just want to talk about. This is a local story. The people of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, just this week found out that sometimes capitalism bad. We saw a controversy as something that I don't even think people really knew was coming. Our NFL stadium is called Heinz Field, which Heinz is, you know, the ketchup. It's a Pittsburgh brand. Like, that's where Heinz comes from. If you have fucking Heinz ketchup in your fridge right now, listeners, first of all, take it out of the fridge. It does not need to be refrigerated. Second of all, that's from Pittsburgh. You can thank me personally for that ketchup. Yeah, whenever they built the stadium, they called it Heinz Field. It's a Pittsburgh thing. We all love it. We all, you know, it fits. It's like a cool name, whatever. This week, it was announced kind of out of nowhere that the name is being changed, that it got bought the naming rights got bought by an out of
state. Did you say it got bought?
It got well. Everything is the boys.
Is it now the Dogecoin Stadium?
No, it got bought by some insurance brokerage company called Acrisure, which is not, it's not Pittsburgh based. It's not even Pennsylvania based. It's an out of state company just like saw that there was the contract was up and put a bid in and got it. So they, it is no longer Heinz Field, it is now Acrisure Stadium. And that is going to be the name for 15 years because, like, you buy it all at once for that naming rights. And people in Pittsburgh are losing their fucking minds about this, which, like, I, from, like, a personal level, like, I get it. Like, it's an ugly name. It loses, like, the connection to the city. But, like, here's the thing is that this is how capitalism works. You just have to shut up and take this shit. Like, people were mad whenever the Staples Center got changed to like crypto.com arena. Yeah. And it's like, here's the thing. That one I would argue is the funniest because there's a pretty good chance that crypto won't even exist in 20 years. Like there's no, I mean, it's at least somewhat of a chance that like they named it after a thing that was made up like a decade ago or whatever. But yeah, there's like,
I think we need a shooters stadium.
Shooters Bar and Grill.
Shooters Grill
arena.
Field.
Shooters Grill Field. That has a nice ring to it. Really doesn't sound like a place that you don't want to go at all.
Oh, you just reminded me of something not complete.
Wait, I'm sorry. All the football players are required to open carry on the field. Go ahead.
like the what's that movie that opens up with like a football player? Oh man, there's a movie from the 90s where a football player opens up with a gun and he shoots a bunch of people. It's a very famous night. Yeah. Oh my God, it's driving me nuts. I'm going to remember it later. Yeah. But the Yankees were in Pittsburgh like a week ago and my mom was watching it and I kind of mentioned like I've been to Pittsburgh once like 10 years ago and I'm like, man, I got to go back because it's like a really cool city and I want to go to the Pittsburgh Pirates to see them. And I said to mom, you know, I really want to see that field. And she's like, Three Rivers? I'm like, Mom, Three Rivers? Like
they blew that up in like 1999.
22 years ago. Like,
but yeah, it is very funny. Like thousands of people have signed this change.org petition. Like, no, we need to get together. We need to tell these people that we don't want this name. It's like, you don't get a say, dude. This is capitalism. You sign all the petitions you want. This is the thing you like. This is how it works. I'm sorry.
Yeah. By the way, that movie was The Last Boy Scout. It's the opening scene in The Last Boy Scout.
I did see. So Heinz Field was the stadium that they used in the opening scene of The Dark Knight Rises. So like where Bane like blows up the field and it's all the with Heinz Ward. Somebody retweeted a video of that scene. It was like the stadium being renamed Acrisure is the worst thing to happen to this field since this happened. It's a good one.
Bane won.
We need to. All right. First of all, we need to find out if Bane owns Acrisure. So yes, I'm sorry, Pittsburgh. Turns out capitalism not that great. Sometimes it does things that you won't like, and you have no fucking say in it. But thank God for freedom. We did it. So I want to talk, I want to open this up. I want to broaden our horizons a little bit. I want to talk about the economy.
Economy?
Never heard of it.
The economy, they were a band in like the late 90s. They broke up for a while. They just got back together. They're doing a reunion tour. Check out the economy.
Oh, they wrote a jumper.
Yes, the economy.
No, wait, Blender. The Blender, Hard in a Blender song.
Economy 6.
yeah, Economy 6. Come on the pod.
So the economy, folks, it's not doing great. I'm gonna level with you here. Economy.
Oh shit.
Economy is not doing too good. Not doing too good. We got a few indicators I want to talk about. First of all, inflation rose to 9.1% in June. So this is typically a bad thing when this happens. From what I'm not much of an economist, but from what I understand, when the price of pretty much everything goes up significantly, it's bad.
I don't know much about money, but I don't like spending this much of it on gasoline and groceries.
Yeah.
So when you were talking about that, in my head, I was thinking about the scene from Good Burger when L is just kind of nodding his head and going, yes, I know some of these words. I have no idea.
I've heard of the economy.
I have seen a money.
Yeah, no. I know about inflation. I used to work at a balloon shop, dude.
Jesus, I know about inflation. I've been on 4chan.
I don't even get that one, but I like it. Yeah, so another indicator. We're all about indicators here. So this month, it was announced that the average price of rent for an apartment in Manhattan is now hit a milestone of over $5,000 a month. It's never happened before. $5,000 a month to have an apartment in Manhattan.
That's a lot of money.
Now, I haven't looked into it much, but has minimum wage been increased in Manhattan at any point in the last year or so?
Can't say it has.
Can't say it. We'll look into that. We'll get back to you, listeners. I want to also talk about the fact that nationwide, the average rent is now over $2,000. I think that happened last month where it went over $2,000 for the first time, which is up 25% from 1 year ago. The average cost of rent went up 25% in one fucking year. And fucking pay has not gone up 25%. It's, hey, you have to pay 25% more to live anywhere in the country, and you get the same amount of fucking pay to deal with it. Like,
well, you know, you just need to be nicer to landlords.
Folks, have you sent your... Don't just send your rent check in. Send a thank you card each month.
Yeah, are you tipping your landlord?
Well, first of all, I want to say that hopefully
gun on holsters. Your landlord
now
is
that now that Fox has defaced the 9/11 memorial, maybe that will
bring down rent prices.
But just in Manhattan,
rest of the country, you're on your own. Fox Sports has made a 9/11 joke, so now rent's going to be good. Go down there.
Hey, you know it could be worse. The euro fell so low that it met the dollar.
Yeah, the euro and the dollar got to be friends.
So clearly we're not the only ones with economy problem.
Yeah. And, you know, I will say, you got to hand it, some people, and when I say people, of course, I mean corporations, because corporations are people, my friend. Some people are trying new strategies on how do we deal with the fact that everything costs more, specifically whenever we want to keep making more money. And again, the we in this is corporations. Worst we get, incorporated. We're all in the same game, folks. My point is, the reason I'm trying to riff this into a transition is BMW has implemented a new strategy in order to keep revenues up. You know, you got to keep the money coming in. They have added a new feature to their cars in some overseas markets where people who buy the cars are then required to pay a monthly subscription fee to use the features inside the car. Specifically, I saw you have to pay $18 a month to use the heated seats inside the car you own.
That's just incredible.
Like, do you understand how much fucking money a brand new BMW costs? And then you have to pay $18 a month to use the fucking heat on the seats?
Yeah. I think this reminds me of the thing that I think a lot of farmers have been dealing with, where John Deere tractors. I don't know if you know a lot of farmers. I don't know any, but I've heard this that
Kennedy was a farmer.
They've done a lot of this with all of their equipment.
Yeah, I know they've done some stuff like that with the equipment with John Deere.
They've been doing that for years.
Look, no matter how high inflation goes, we have to make sure that corporations can keep profits up. That's all there is to it.
Mm-hmm.
Patreon.com/worstweekyet. What were you going to say, Kennedy?
I was going to say that, I don't know, something about getting on a tractor. Yee-hoo! Let's move on.
Let's move on. So here's a fun story. We've been covering the never-ending saga of Elon Musk pretending that he wants to buy Twitter. This week, Twitter has announced...
I want to be clear, actually. I think he sincerely wanted to buy Twitter and that he has botched it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. It's really... I think it's almost impossible to figure out Elon Musk's actual motivations because, like, some shit, he just, like... It doesn't make much sense. Like, I don't know. It's
I think we could actually tie it into an Elon adjacent story from this week where that his dad is now the father of Elon's nephew brother because he had a child with his stepdaughter. And if you just understand that literally everything Elon Musk does is to win the approval of people around him, everything makes sense.
Do you understand how hard it is to try and be your dad's favorite kid when he started fucking your stepsister?
Damn, you can't compete with that.
Yeah, but everything he does, he's the richest man in the world. He just wants people on the internet to think he's funny, and we will just not let it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Twitter has filed a lawsuit against Elon Musk for backing out of the deal. And like Elon Musk, he announced that he wanted to buy Twitter. He drew up a deal which was very friendly towards Twitter. Like they were coming out good and they put a lot of like cancellation clauses in it. So like it was hard for him to back out. And as soon as they announced the deal, he started like publicly trashing the company, which like wrecked their stock price before he pulled out of the deal. So he has not only like broken this deal, but also done like substantial damage to the value of the company. So in any sane world, this should be like an open and shut case that he did something wrong that he should be responsible for. But of course, we do not live in a sane world. It's very interesting that the richest person in the world is just like constantly doing these things that are blatantly, obviously illegal, but there's just like, at least whenever like a lot of corrupt politicians do stuff, it's like behind closed doors or like you might hear like murmurs of it or whatever. He's doing this like right out in front of fucking everybody and he's just going to get away with it. Like,
I actually think he might not always get away with it, and it's not because he's rich. It's because, in this case, he's fucking over rich people. And when he's fucked over rich people in the past, that's when there's consequences. So I can't remember what it was that he did. It was on Twitter like 2 or 3 years ago. He tweeted something about, I don't know if it was Tesla or SpaceX or something, that like kind of artificially inflated the stock price. And there were consequences to that. Like he was removed as CEO from Tesla, I think. Even though I think he's still like the majority shareholder. But yeah, like every once in a while, he will fuck with the wrong people's money. Remember, boys, never fuck with the money. and there will actually be consequences.
I don't know. I would like to see, Elon Musk go down significantly at some point in my life. You know what? I take that back. He already has. And that is, of course, whenever former and future president Donald Trump weighed in on Truth Social. Did either of you see this Truth Social post? It's fucking incredible.
Yes.
It's
yes.
A paragraph long, and I wrote the whole thing down, and I'm going to read it. So sorry, listeners, for the fact that you're going to have to listen to me
the
and
most
try
important
and read a paragraph.
Part.
Oh, I got it all.
The most important part is that he has but it's a photo of the two of them in the Oval Office.
Trump with his big, stupid fucking, I'm about to eat a taco bowl on a Cinco de Mayo smile. Elon Musk looking like having since melted and then been re-solidified wax statue. It's all fucked up. This very, very creepy picture. But this is the caption that Donald Trump put on this photo. Quote.
Yes. Yes.
When Elon Musk came to the White House asking me for help on his many subsidized projects, whether it's electric cars that don't drive long enough, driverless cars that crash, or rocket ships to nowhere, without which subsidies he'd be worthless, and telling me how he was a big Trump fan and Republican, I could have said drop to your knees and beg, and he would have done it. End quote.
Do we know what Alon did that pissed Trump off?
He just... it has to be an ego thing. Yeah, no... that was it. Is that last maybe like 2 weeks ago, Elon like came out with that statement that he's like, you know, I've voted Democrat all my life, but now I'm going to vote Republican. That was it, because he told Trump that he voted for him before. That's all it was. I think Donald Trump liked Elon Musk up until that point.
Oh, you know what it probably is actually, because I'm trying to think what is petty enough for the both of them. He probably got mad that Elon is trying not to buy Twitter because they probably had a secret shake deal.
Oh, where
he was
going
to reinstate his account.
Oh, that makes sense too.
I guarantee it. That's that's my headcanon now. You know it. I know it's true.
Elon, you were supposed to put me back on Twitter. Follow Trump on Truth. Truths. Speaking of Donald Trump, there's a bunch of reports coming out that say Donald Trump is considering announcing his 2024 election campaign in September of this year, which would be before the midterm elections, which is first of all insane that we would be talking about a presidential race before the midterm race even happens. But secondly, I don't know. I think that actually might be a bad thing for Republicans if Trump announces before the midterms. I'm not quite sure why he would do it that way.
I mean, he did announce his reelection campaign on day one of his presidential
term. True. Yeah.
Here's the thing is actually like the earlier Trump announces, in my opinion, like the worse it is for all of us.
Yeah.
Because he's going to start just like roaming the country campaigning and like frothing people up and getting them insane and like causing like violence probably in his wake and shit. Like, I'm not kidding, you know? So, I don't want to say something that's potentially like libelous per se, but at the same time, like if you're going to roam around the country saying like dangerous shit, things might happen. Let's just say that much at least.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah. The longer that Trump is actively campaigning, the more terrible things that will happen during Joe Biden's presidency.
Yeah, and also just like Joe Biden already is like one of the least popular presidents ever. If all Trump is doing is roaming around like frothing people up and getting them excited about him again, Joe Biden cannot win in 2024.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he can regardless, but yeah, it only gets worse and worse from there.
RIP Joe Brandon.
We did it, Joe. All I'm saying is that Donald Trump will be our next president, and there's nothing that anybody named Joe can fucking do about it.
I mean, I'm not saying it's guaranteed that Donald Trump will be our next president personally, but I think that Joe Biden is going to lose in 2024. He either loses in the primary or he loses in the general election. It's our choice. Well, by our choice, I really mean the DCCC and the DNC and those people's choice. It's not our choice at all.
well,
the fact that they're not governing under the assumption that they are definitely going to lose the reelection is mind-boggling to me. They should be cramming literally everything they can down the pipe, knowing full well that not only will Joe Biden definitely lose, but he'll probably be the last Democratic president for a decade.
Yeah. Especially with all the stuff that they're going to be doing now that the Supreme Court is taking up that case next year where like states can do whatever they want in elections. They don't have to listen to anything like federal government or state courts or whatever. I forget what it's called. Independent state legislature, something. I don't fucking know, but it's basically like every state can just decide to handle elections however they want. And
DeSantis is just going to decide what Florida voted.
Like, there's nothing in the Constitution that says that the president has to be who the people vote for. Like, we've set up this crazy fucking banana system that is like, yeah, no, traditionally that's how it's worked. Except for it used to just be that, like, a bunch of the rich people in the party got together and picked the president. And you know what? Maybe they'll do that again. Like, explicitly. I know it still kind of functions that way, but at least we have votes and they count them, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's all fucked. And I just want to say, like, I know I made a strong declaration guaranteeing that Donald Trump will be the president again. And I want to say, as somebody that the day before Russia invaded Ukraine strongly pronounced on this podcast that they would never do that, I have no problems being wrong. So take that with a grain of salt, listeners. I want to talk about our second favorite Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin, not a great guy. This week he announced that he is pulling support from the climate deal that was built entirely around his own demands. Like, Joe Manchin was like, I'm not signing any climate thing unless it's this, this, and this. And so the Democrats got together and they're like, I guess we have to do this, this, and this. And then Joe Manchin was like, actually, I'm not signing that either.
I'm not signing shit.
Yeah.
I'm going on vacation. Don't call me.
Now, the Democrats, they are furious at Joe Manchin. Not enough to, you know, do anything about it, but they did. They had some mean words. Y'all know about mean words?
Yeah, apparently that's like the worst thing you could do. So, you know.
We had Obama's former, I think, advisor or campaign manager, something, John Podesta. John Podesta went on TV and he said that Joe Manchin has cemented his legacy as the one man who single-handedly doomed humanity.
I don't want to hear anything from John Podesta, which is not taken straightly from a hacked email.
Yeah, we never saw Joe Manchin in the basement of fucking Comet Ping Pong, so maybe chill out there, Johnny.
Damn, got his ass.
Comet Ping Pong, famously the location of the time that Andrew Hillary played bass for Eve 6. Hell yeah.
I still Economy 6.
Yeah, Economy. I still can't believe that I got to do that and that it was at Comet Ping Pong. What a fucking fun life that I've lived. All right, so we are going to get to our final story here. This week, a new poll was released that said 94% of Democrats aged 18 to 29 want Joe Biden gone. 94%. So what has Joe Biden been up to? That's right, folks. We're doing what the fuck, Joe Biden? Ben, let me ask you this. What the fuck, Joe Biden?
I like how the first time it was like more forceful and then it's more soulful. What the fuck, Joe Biden?
Yeah, this is not a call out. It's a call in. No, it's both.
It's remarkable that this person who basically started his campaign telling everybody under 40 to fuck off is not popular.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's who could say it could be a lot of things. Could be, you know, El Nino. What was that weather thing that kept scaring people in the 90s? It could be a lot of things. All I'm saying is we do have some evidence to suggest that it might be Joe Biden's actions as president. It's jury's still out. So what is Joe Brandon himself? What has the man been up to? Let's see. This week, Joe Biden took his first trip as president to the Middle East, where he began by meeting with leaders in Israel, where he reaffirmed the fact that you do not have to be Jewish to be a Zionist. He was fist bumping everybody. And then Benjamin Netanyahu was like, no, I don't want a fist bump. Went in for the handshake. Very strong handshake. And then Joe Biden's next stop, he went over to what was the word he used for Mohammed bin Salman, a pariah that he promised he would never meet with after the murder of Jamal Khashoggi? Well, Joe Biden went and met with him, gave him a little fist bump, hung out with the crown prince. And, you know, Joe Biden said, I know, listen, Jack, I said I'd never meet with him, but we gotta make sure that we have our allies in the Middle East. You know, we gotta exert our authority there. And, yeah, you know, going back on your words to do basic shit, maybe that's why young people are like, get the fuck out of here. Could be.
Because you know what happened is, you know that bell that goes off when you're about to overflow with your gasoline coming into the tank? It's that bell went off when it went above $4. And he realized, man, I need to meet with this murderer.
Yeah, once gas is $4.50 a gallon, you kind of got to meet with the sponsors of state terrorism. Don't forget, folks, Saudi Arabia mostly responsible for 9/11. It's cool though; they're our friends. But yes, you know, Joe Biden, he says that he's doing everything in his power by meeting with the leaders in Israel and Saudi Arabia to prevent Iran from getting a nuclear weapon, which, you know, that's what Iran wants to do. They don't want to just fucking participate in the global economy and like mostly lead people. No, they want a nuclear weapon. That's what they do. Every single person in Iran wakes up every morning and they say, how do we get a nuke today?
It is the new Rihanna album of geopolitics where it's just, it's been threatened. I don't know, my entire adult life. I don't know about you. And just,
yeah, no, every yeah. few months you see a story. Iran is days away from having a nuclear weapon. It's like
for 22 years at this point.
Yeah. At this point, you gotta wonder how bad their nuclear scientists are in Iran.
It's actually, I mean, we've done incredible acts of sabotage to prevent that program from really seeing like fruition, things like that. It's actually like probably like outside of like fucking with internal left wing protests in the United States and overthrowing South American governments. This is like probably the CIA's like third biggest activity is just like trying to disrupt Iran's nuclear program at all costs.
They're also just constantly getting murked by Israeli Shabak operatives.
Iranians?
Yeah.
Oh no, that's like a known thing is that like Israel is like constantly assassinating their scientists.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, it is always strange to me. How the hell did we let North Korea get a nuke? Like, It's weird that we've been this successful to stop Iran, but North Korea just figured it out. I don't know. I don't get it.
didn't keep our like eyes on the ball.
North Korea's not necessarily a place worth praising for this in general, but like their very closed wall attitude towards everyone else has allowed them like a certain amount of security against influence by like spies and stuff that you can't have in a place like Iran as easily.
Okay.
You can't just like send random international spies into North Korea to try to like blend in.
Yeah. That makes sense. They tried it with Seth Rogen and James Franco that one time. Didn't work.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, James Franco got Me Too'd right after that. So think about that.
Do you think it was related? Do you think... Never mind. That's a terrible bit to run with. So let's move on. What else has Joe Biden been up to? Oh, this week it was announced, you know, Joe Biden, he's listening to the people. Okay. There's obviously just a ton of pushback against Joe Biden's policy since the Roe v. Wade decision was overturned. And, you know, we reported last week that Joe Biden had in secret done a deal with Mitch McConnell to nominate an anti-abortion judge to a lifetime position in Kentucky's federal court. So, as I said, Joe Biden, he's listening to what we want. This week, it was announced that Joe Biden has pulled out of the deal to nominate this guy. I think his name's like Ken Meredith or some shit. He will no longer be nominating that anti-abortion judge. However, unfortunate bit of context here. Apparently, the deal did not get blown up because of the public outcry. It got blown up because Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell were fighting about this Ken Meredith guy. They were split on it. So Joe Biden decided, I don't want to piss them both off.
It's really amazing how like decades old Kentucky beef is really what the nation hinges on.
Yeah, right. Also, one other detail about this story. Now, this is coming from Mitch McConnell, so I can't say for certain that it's true, but Mitch McConnell did come out this week and say that there wasn't actually a deal in place for this judge, that Joe Biden was just doing it as a favor, that he was not getting anything specific in return. He called it a friendly gesture.
Okay, I guess. I don't know how to feel about that.
Well, the original thinking was that, like, okay, if Joe Biden's going to put this anti-abortion judge on, but that in exchange he gets, like, 10 pro-abortion judges, then, like, you know, maybe it is worth it in the long run, whatever. Which I don't necessarily agree with. But like, you could see how somebody that is less fucking concerned with their morality could maybe get to that point. You're like, okay. But no, there was no deal. He was getting nothing in return. He was just doing his buddy a solid.
It's amazing to me how many Joe Biden fans will let that go, like him just doing these deals with the worst people that our country has ever produced. But because Cori Bush was like moderately aligned with Bernie Sanders, they'll now like helping push for a primary opponent who like I think was credibly accused of domestic violence.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's incredible what Joe Biden is able to get away with, and his most diehard fans are just like, yeah, this is cool.
Yeah. Joe Biden, he's been on one this week. You know, he's
honestly, I just can't stop thinking about what Ben said about how the entire nation's politics hinges on like 100-year-old Kentucky beefs.
Rand Paul's neighbor should run for president.
My great great grandpappy shot your great great grandpappy back in 1751 or whatever.
Beefs older than the country itself. It all comes back to that Tennessee Valley. Wait, Kentucky. Wait, I don't know how old anything. Let's move on. Biden, Joe Biden, he's been taking a strong stance in you know, at first, whenever the Roe v. Wade reversal was announced, he didn't seem to have a plan. But this week, you know, he's really been putting the rubber to the road, if that's how that saying is supposed to go. This week, on just last Sunday, Joe Biden announced that he is strongly considering declaring a public health emergency in order to restore and protect abortion access. Now, to be fair, he hasn't actually done it, and reports are coming out that says he doesn't want to do the national emergency, but he is at least considering it. And I think that's, I think you should shut up and vote. Our president is considering things.
Well, definitely, because you know that we already have a public health emergency in place for the last 2 years, and it was just renewed, and that's going great.
Yeah, totally. Joe Biden also said this week he will require healthcare providers to overrule state law if abortion is required to save the life of the mother. Now,
that's bullshit, though. You know that, right?
That will result in doctors going to jail if they ignore the state laws. Like, there's no fucking carve out to protect the doctors, which means they won't fucking do it. Like, no doctor wants to go to jail.
Here's the real issue with that. Every single, like, bullshit state law pretty much says, oh yeah, if it's really medically necessary. But the point is that they try to limit what they consider quote unquote medically necessary. Like, yeah. Very few of these laws say there's absolutely no medical place for an abortion that have been authored, and definitely none that have been passed as far as I know. Like, instead what they say is like, well, here's the circumstances under which an abortion would be okay. And then it's like, it has to be an eclipse. And, you know, you have to bring 3 goats with you to the hospital. And like, it just, you know, so this protection doesn't really change anything, because all the Republicans are going to say is like, well, it wasn't medically necessary. It was not saving her life.
You can't even get a consensus among Republicans that ectopic pregnancy, which in the history of ectopic pregnancies, there has never been a transplantation of an ectopic pregnancy to be a viable birth. Never has happened. But you can't even get them to agree. And it 100% of the time will result in death. You can't even get them to agree on that.
They also can't even agree that that's on what is and isn't considered an abortion. There was some fucking anti-abortion lawyer testifying, I think it was before Congress. I don't know. I only heard the clip. I don't really remember where it was happening. But this lady was being like grilled on how there should be no exceptions, even in the case such as the 10-year-old girl who had to leave Ohio to go to Indiana to get an abortion after she was raped. And the woman who was testifying against there being an exception for something like that, she literally said the words, well, if she's 10 years old and there is a great threat to her bodily function, then that's not an abortion. That she like changed what the fucking word means so that it didn't fucking go against their, like, it's the, nothing means anything to these fucking people other than what can we do to fucking keep our shit in place, keep putting people down. It's really horrifying. There were so many stories too this week because like that came out last week, I think it was with the 10-year-old girl who had to go to Indiana. After that story came out, like a ton of fucking Fox News people, but also like some more like centerish, like liberal people were saying like, this story is too good to be true. Or like, this is obviously fake. This is made up. But then an arrest happened for the person that sexually assaulted this child. So all these people had to like go back on saying it was made up.
Her dad, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to say too that like it's not like these stories are just cropping up for no reason. The reason why these stories are just like appearing suddenly is because the Republicans are attempting to drag this shit out into the open for their own nefarious purposes. And I just really want to make sure that that gets addressed as well while we're talking about this, because like it really is that insidious.
Yeah. Yeah. One other thing that Joe Biden did this week was he warned pharmacies in the United States that refusing to fill prescriptions for abortion pills could be persecuted as violating someone's civil rights. Now, mind you, in states that have laws against issuing abortion pills, that is not a call that the pharmacist gets to, like, they get to decide. They either have to follow the state law, or with this new federal guideline, they have to either violate the state law or the federal law. So it's like, it's damned if you do or don't. And again, this is not a fucking strategy to deal with the problem. This is just a strategy to punish more fucking people in the middle of it. And again, I cannot for the life of me understand why people don't like Joe Biden. He's doing such a good, he's doing all these things.
It's not fair, you know. Joe Biden, he's trying so hard to be, you know, just find the president and get that guy to do something.
He's doing the best he can.
He's doing the best he can.
Oh, there was, I did see a report that came out this week that ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, they are going to continue allowing abortions for detainees regardless of state law, because we must protect life at all costs unless it's someone who could become an anchor baby.
Well, I mean, they were sterilizing a few people a few years ago, so that seems against their will.
Unfortunately, this checks out.
There won't be.
Yeah, you can't get an abortion unless you absolutely don't want one, and then you have to have it.
Yeah, no kids in cages. No kids.
That's, you know, that's Andrew, of all the episodes I've ever been on, this is the one that I think really has lived up to the name more than any other.
Hell yeah. Well, it's a compounding problem. Everything keeps getting worse. It's all terrible. It's all fucked. Folks, before we end the show, I just have one story that's like, I don't know, kind of, I guess, a little bit of good news. It's barely good news. This week, there was a wildfire happening in Yosemite National Park that was threatening Mariposa Grove, which is home to about like 500 ancient sequoias. Those trees are like 1,000 years old. Like Abraham Lincoln originally was the one that like declared this like a national like preservation spot or something. And this fire was like approaching around this section of the forest. But luckily the fire was contained and not entirely contained, but like it didn't burn down the trees. So good news. Only some of the forest burned down.
That's some good neutral stuff.
Yeah. Also, do you remember when Trump called it Yosemite?
That's what Joe Brandon said when he got to Israel.
Oh, Jesus Christ. The fist bump makes sense now. Well, Kennedy, Ben, this has been great. Thank you both for joining me. Ben, do you have anything you'd like to plug? Anything you'd like folks to find you on?
Not really anymore. I think I've locked my Twitter. So if you're already following me, you've made the cut.
I'm not in here with you. You're in here with me.
Exactly.
Fuck yeah. Kennedy?
You can find me on Twitter. And if you listen to this show, you probably have.
Hell yeah. Also, you can find Kennedy and I over on patreon.com/worstweekyet, where we are currently in the midst of our boys rewatch and recap, the girls rewatch and recap. Look, we're going to figure it all out. We're going to figure this. We're going to figure this.
We're going
to
watch something else, I think, because this has been fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it has been good. It's been a good time. You can support patreon.com/worstweekyet. You can follow me at Andrew Hillary US. You can follow the show at Worst Week Yet. And you can, more important than all that, bullshit, you can tune in next week for more bad news.